Light beer, dark money. Agree on something. Politics, culture, and the intersection of faith, freedom, and free enterprise. And now, live from the Star Worldwide Network studios, here are your hosts, Light Beer Chris Clements and Dark Money Sean Noble.
Welcome back to another episode of Light Beer, Dark Money. I'm Sean.
And I'm Chris Clements.
We are honored today to have our guest coming to us from Texas. I believe you guys are in Texas right now. We've got Robert Bryce and Tyson Culver. They are the producers and makers of a great docuseries that you can see online about energy. And Robert, why don't you just jump right in and tell us why this is important?
Sure. Well, thanks for having us, fellas. The first thing you need to know is juicetheseries.com. Did I mention juicetheseries.com? I hope I mentioned juicetheseries.com.
And we will talk about juicetheseries.com many times because we want people to go. Because this, I mean, in all seriousness, this is a project that you guys have been doing for a while. I was introduced to these guys a few years ago. I was really excited about this. I did a little bit to try to help them get going. I'm not sure that I had any help at all, but at the end of the day, these guys pulled it off.
Dark money for them, perhaps?
I attempted to raise some money.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it all came
digitally.
Anyway.
Well, that would make sense.
So Robert Bryce has been a leader in the energy space for a long, long time. And Tyson is a amazing filmmaker. So you put these two together and you have got some really great stuff. So sorry to interrupt you guys. Go ahead.
So yeah, that was a while back, Sean. We persevered. the project, it's a five-part docuseries. It's called Juice, Power, Politics, and the Grid. Very briefly, the reason why Tyson and I made this, and Tyson did a great job putting it all together. We got blacked out 3 years ago during Winter Storm Uri in Austin. Mm. And in the wake of that, we understood, you know, how close the Texas grid, the ERCOT grid, came to total collapse. And the more we understood that, the more we realized how dangerous the situation was in Texas. And then looking at the fragilization of electric grids across the country, we decided we need to do this project. And so we forged ahead. And now we have five 20-minute episodes, roughly each 20 minutes. And we're explaining why the grid is important, how it's been weakened, and what we need to do to fix it. And one of the ways we need to look forward and to stabilize the grid and focus on reducing emissions to the extent we can is by embracing nuclear energy. So that's it in a nutshell. Juice, Power, Politics, and the Grid. It came out January 31st, and super proud of it. It's available for free on YouTube, and juicetheseries.com is the easiest way to find it.
Yeah, it really well made. Tyson, so this is one of the things that is really interesting about you guys is that, Robert, you're, you know, could be considered a conservative, and Tyson, you are definitely not a conservative.
That's correct.
But you guys have worked together on this because this is a nonpartisan issue in my mind. I mean, this is about the energy security for our nation. The grid is incredibly important, and you know we've been hearing news about potential threats to the grid that the Chinese have been engaged in cyber attacks, that kind of thing.
Oh, even against fabled solar systems.
Yeah, right. Tyson, coming to it from more of the left side, what appealed to you about partnering up with Robert and doing this?
I think a couple of things. I mean, one, we've known each other for a long time, and this is our second project together. Our last one was Juice, How Electricity Explains the World. Over a three-year period, we traveled 60,000 miles, interviewed 50 people from seven countries to tell the human story of electricity and why power equals power. And that was kind of my introduction to the world of energy. I talked to my wife about it. I think I'm kind of an accidental environmentalist. I believe I'm less of an environmentalist / climate change person and more of an energy poverty person. But that came about because of the last project we did. And so, as Robert said, when we got blacked out, you know, it compelled us to, you know, get back and tell another story. And that's what we tried to do. Personally, I'm intrigued by stories that kind of defy conventional wisdom. You know, for years we've heard nuclear is bad and renewables are good. When in reality, it's kind of the opposite. And that was something that I discovered over the course of making our last project. And once again, this one, I think another force that drives me, Alex Gibney, the famous documentarian, has a great line. You know, he wants to expose bullies. And I think bullies can exist on both sides of the aisle. And I like the idea of exposing bullies as well. So, you know, if you can change the world and hopefully, you know, embarrass the guilty, as Robert is often want to say, then I'm all for it.
That's great. It's a great way to put it. Expose the bullies. Because energy policy, there have been some bullies on both sides. I mean, what you guys get into, I think it must be the second episode of perhaps, but when you talk about Enron and how much instability what they were doing provided, and how that came about as a result of the push for deregulation, and that this all sounded like a good idea, but there were definitely some issues that presented itself as a result. Can you get into that?
Sure. To me, this is interesting. Just thinking about my own career, my first book was on Enron. I've written six books. So my first book came out in 2002. It was on Enron. Here I am more than 20 years later. I'm still talking about Enron. Enron's effect on the energy sector broadly has been profound. And there were a lot of smart people there. No, make no mistake about it. There was fraud, obviously. And it was one of the biggest bankruptcy in American history when it happened back in 2001. But Enron went to Britain, convinced the Brits, to do this restructuring of their electric markets, and then went to California. They achieved the same. Then they went to Texas. So this restructuring, though, allowed the wind and solar purveyors to get into the marketplace, but then left the market then with no accountability. And that was what we saw at the end of Winter Storm Uri, was the system, you know, the system nearly collapsed. And after it finished, you know, after in the aftermath, everyone said, well, who's responsible for reliability? And the answer was no one. And so that's one of the key points we made in this whole, throughout this whole project, is we need to be focused on reliability, and we're not. And that's the reason why Tyson and I are so committed to this project, and why we're giving it away for free, juicetheseries.com. We want people to understand what's at stake here. The fragility of the electric grid is real, and it's being made more and more fragile because we're adding more weather-dependent generation at a time when we're seeing extreme weather events. So we have to be very clear about what is at stake here, and that's our goal, is to really get people and policymakers to understand we ignore the fragility of this energy network at our extreme peril.
Well, that's a great way to put it.
And what led you to really focus? And I'm looking at some of the you have a section on your website called Stories, and a vast majority of the people that you have here are members of a community, you know, focusing on atomic energy. How did that shift happen in your minds in terms of focusing on that for the website and for the videos?
I'm specifically on atomic energy. Well, I mean, I think that was, for me, that part came about during the production of our last project. So I went into it 100% a renewable advocate. I knew Bryce, and I trust Bryce, and he's a good person, but I didn't agree with him on everything. And I still don't agree with him on everything, but when it comes to energy, I think we're pretty in lockstep. And that was just, that involved patience and time. You know, we stopped the entire project. But if you go and you watch our previous one, we're 45 minutes into it before we really say the word nuclear. And that was on me, because nuclear still was kind of a bad word. We were 45 minutes into it, 3 months from when, you know, I had my own cutoff date for when it needed to be done. And I didn't have an ending. But I had all these brilliant voices like Michael Schellenberger and Ben Hurd and Jessica Lovering, saying all these amazing things about, you know, what nuclear can do because of its amazing power density. You know, the fact that it takes up such a small amount of space and puts out such a large amount of power. That's just unfathomable to most people. And so nuclear became something that, you know, I became an advocate for during the course of, not really even during the course of the filming, but during the course of post. I had to go back and watch every one of those interviews again and again and again and again. And when you hear countless smart people, we're talking about Nobel Prize winners here, say, listen, energy poverty is something to consider, and nuclear is something to consider, you need to recheck some of those values that you brought to you when you walked into the room, and just look at everything, you know, through the lens of math. And the math and science is you can't argue with it. Nuclear makes all the sense in the world. And as Robert said, natural gas and nuclear makes a great deal of sense, because you can't take power off the grid without having something to replace it. And right now, that's what we seem to be doing. And that's why we're running into blackouts and why prices are skyrocketing.
That's such a great point. And because when you do talk about energy poverty, I mean, electricity is the lifeblood. I mean, it is what has made America great. I mean, it's what took us. I mean, it just, you think about how we developed as a country from the 1800s into the early 1900s. It was the development of the electricity grid.
Well, we have power. Massive natural resources in this country, and we have massive technical prowess, and we refuse to use it.
Yeah,
it's a major policy concern, and we have to embrace. Like we've said on the show before, we've had other people, you know, in the energy field as well, like C3 Solutions, and we have to talk about everything. Not just one solution, but all solutions.
Well, and I think that, but going right to the point about the importance of nuclear, the word that I've always
nuclear
always vexed me.
I just say atomic.
Me and George Bush, mm-hmm. But it's just so important because of the baseload it provides. It does provide the stability,
absolutely,
that we would avoid blackouts and the stability that we.
Well,
need
I mean,
the,
you could even go so far as
reliability of the grid.
I mean, Arizona.
Yeah.
We have a fully functioning, expanding, great nuclear power plant just to the west of here. Had it for several decades. So much so that we sell some of that power to California because they have none.
Right. So
if I can jump in with one quick point here, in my own personal bias, if it takes some personal privilege here. So we have 5 episodes. I'm particularly fond of episode 3. Mm. And it's because it's personal to me. I'm from Oklahoma. I have deep roots, and I'm born and raised in Tulsa. Deep roots in Oklahoma on both my mother and my father's side. My great uncle Ernie Rapp was a member of the Osage tribe. He was born in 1909 in Fairfax, Oklahoma, and he had a front row seat to the Reign of Terror in the 1920s, which is the focus of course, Scorsese's new epic film, Killers of the Flower Moon, which is up for 10 Academy Awards, by the way. Well, episode 3, we start, and it's called Green Dreams. We went to Osage County, Tyson and I did several times, interviewed members of the Osage tribe, because the tribe is locked with Enel, an Italian company, in the longest running legal battle over wind energy in American history. Mm. And we tell the story better than anyone anywhere, and I'm not bragging, it's just a fact. And we interviewed 5 different members of the Osage tribe. The tribe has now won a huge court decision in federal court in Tulsa in December, where the court judge ruled with the tribe and ordered Enel to take down 84 wind turbines it built in Osage County, despite the objections of the tribe. So it's an enormously important story. It's an enormously important win for the tribe and for Native American rights. And it's one that's personal to me, and one that I think we tell that story really, really well. It's incredibly compelling, but it's an example of this infatuation with weather-dependent generation, wind energy in particular, that's, you know, all across the country, these land use conflicts are happening. And we point that out by looking at Osage County as one of these examples of these hundreds of conflicts over wind and solar development. So I'd encourage people, especially of the 5 episodes, watch episode 3.
Yeah, that story is so amazing. Tyson goes right to the going after the bullies thing. I mean, you talk about the craziness of allowing, you know, these people came in and basically said, we don't care what you think. We're going to build these wind turbines.
Farms.
Yeah. Right on your land. It's just astounding. It's just astounding.
And they were warned, Sean. In 2014, the Bureau of Indian Affairs sent a letter directly to Enel when they started building this wind project and said, you don't have a permit from the tribe. You are violating the tribe's mineral estate. And instead of stopping, Enel sped up the work. They brought light and started working at night. So the arrogance of this company is just unbelievable. And the way they treated the tribe and acted like they didn't have to get permission from the tribe. And now they've been ordered to take the turbines down potentially at a cost of $300 million, and the tribe is going to seek compensatory damages. I asked Everett Waller, the head of the Osage Minerals Council, what are you asking for? And he said, well, I'm not going to give you an exact figure. He said, but it rhymes with millions.
That's great. That's great. So this might be
a great story, regardless which side you're on. And I'm a, you know, I've been very critical of how the wind industry has worked in rural America. But the arrogance that Enel, this Italian company, showed against the Osage tribe is truly breathtaking.
Yeah, yeah. So what the two things? One, what can people do? I mean, obviously, go to juice.com. Well, not
juice the series.com.
Go to that. But then, so what can people do besides that? And then what's next for you guys?
You want me to hit that?
Yeah.
So I think one of the best things folks can do is get informed. You know, as someone that is, that was, I don't know, a victim of the green halo effect, you know, because I very much, you know, associate with renewables, with good across the board. And don't get me wrong, they're bad actors on both sides of the aisle. They're bad actors in every source there is out there. But there are also, you know, folks that are doing things right. And I think, unfortunately, we don't always look at everyone the same way because of our own personal beliefs. And I think when it comes to energy, we really need to trust engineers. We need to think less about what politicians can do for us and more about what engineers suggest that we do. And for that, you know, there are countless warnings that have been going out with NERC and FERC that Robert can speak to. And the punchline is, you know, our grid has been fragilized. We need to do something about it. So what I suggest is, one, folks, watch the series. Just learn a little bit more about it. And please know, I am terrible with math and science, you know, and I knew very little about the world of energy, but I was fascinated with climate and energy. So I think that puts me squarely in the camp of folks that might watch it. I would have also turned it off if it were, you know, an hour and a half of just rolling on. But my background is in creating, you know, highlight reels and coming attractions and trailers. And so what we did is we tried to tell a compelling story that my 74-year-old mother would watch, that my 17-year-old son would watch, that my 9-year-old daughter loves, you know, because it's digestible content. It's bite-sized content. It's 20 minutes. You could do it, you know, in less than half an hour and just move on to something else and catch an episode. So please get informed. As for what's next, I mean, that's always the question, right? To me, I think the way you change the conversation is by continuing to create content that questions conventional thinking. And so for me, I'd like to make another project like this, another episodic, just so long as we keep the momentum, because there's so much out there that's preaching a different narrative that I feel compelled to do it. And so, yeah, we want to, you know, change the conversation about energy.
Yeah, that's really important. I mean, to push back against what is kind of the mainstream narrative, you guys are up for a challenge. But boy, this series really does it.
Well, because the narrative is becoming renewables are the only way. And that, right, fossil fuels and nuclear, for that matter, need to be disavowed.
Well, and if I can jump in for just a second here, gentlemen, I think the other thing that part of the, you know, my goal is we're, you know, working on promoting this project because we want to change the discussion. We're giving it away. We don't want to make it difficult for people to see this. And so far, we've already had over 500,000 views. We've been very fortunate in getting people to pay attention. But we have to be able to have the conversation first, and that's the key thing. We have to be able to make people understand why it's being fragilized, and a lot of this is being driven simply by bad policy, and a lot of it's coming out of the federal government. Let's be clear. Remember Charlie Munger's great line, show me the incentives and I'll show you the outcome. Well, all the incentives right now at the federal government level through the Inflation Reduction Act are to build more weather-dependent generation.
Yeah.
Solar is getting 300 times more in federal subsidies than nuclear per unit of energy produced. So we don't have a level playing field. So we want to get people and policymakers to understand what's at risk, what they need to do, why they need to be informed, and what are the ways forward. And that's our goal. So go to juicetheseries.com.
Good.
Fantastic.
Hey, that's fantastic. You guys did some amazing work here again. And we commend it to everybody, all of our listeners. Thank you so much, guys, for taking the time and for doing what you're doing.
Yeah. Thanks for being here.
That's the most important.
We're looking forward to seeing more.
Go to juicetheseries.com.
Juicetheseries.com.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. God bless.
Take care.
Thank you.